Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone. And welcome to Evident Footprints here on BBSRadio.com. And I'd like to thank Donald and Seth for getting the sound together. It sounds really good to me tonight, so hopefully it's good to you out there. Send us an email if you're enjoying the show. If you're not enjoying the show, it's Donald's fault. No, I'm just kidding. We're just ironing out little bugs here, which come up from time to time. And that's the nature of the beast, to put it bluntly. We are now in two time zones, and two dates. We are at December the 13th or December 12th, depending on where you are in the country. We want to thank you for being here. We're going to give out some numbers quickly here in case you would like to call in and speak to tonight's guest, in case you have a question or a comment for him. Toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada, 888-228-4494. Also worldwide, toll-free, 877-489-6350. And three direct lines, all with the area code 530. We have 776-5154. 776-5185 and 876-9916. So those are five numbers you can call in to speak to tonight's guest or me. And with that, I am going to bring on board a man who has a stellar career in radio for at least 30 years, and he'll give us more details on that. He's known throughout the Patriot movement as the Paul Revere of talk radio. And I'm putting that means that he is saying something like the neocons are coming. So we are going to let him speak for himself. And anyway, I wanted to also, I got a little message here. So before I bring him up here, I have just a little message that there was some misunderstanding about an earlier broadcast and that there was some kind of problem with the sound. Someone was an idiot and someone else wasn't. So I guess they're saying I was right, so thank you. Anyway, that's I love you guys. You guys are great, so don't even worry about it. With that, we're coming on now with our special guest. I've been on this man's show in the past week or so, and he's a regular on Republic Broadcasting Network. For those of you who are unfamiliar with that network, they are in the Patriot movement. If you want to know what's going on in terms of politics, government, the military, your civil rights, your constitution, RBN is the place to hear that. Of course, BBS Radio is another one, too. So, tonight, I want to welcome to Evident Footprints, Mr. Rick Adams. Rick, how are you this evening?
Well, it's the morning time now. Thank you. I'm doing pretty well.
Yes, morning for you and me. For
yeah,
a lot of the folks, it's still evening.
Yeah, it's about 1 a.m. here where I am.
Yes. You just had a show yourself about an hour ago, so you are you're a busy man today.
I am. I'm very busy, thanks to you, and I'm happy to be on your show.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to have you here. There are so many things going on, Rick. I think first, just to give the people a little bit of comfort here, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into this, what your purpose is, what your goals are, and then, you know, maybe talk about what you see as a critical issue today, though there are many.
Well, I think, as you said, I've been in radio for about 31 years now, since my days out of college in 1976. when I first started at a 1,000-watt radio AM radio station, and then moved into other stations in the area of Rhode Island where I am, and in and out of radio, but did a lot of things, you know, board hopping, as we call it, running programs and doing announcing and doing interviewing. And then, of course, my favorite of all things is doing a talk show, and since I like to talk, as you know, and I like to listen, too. So I've interviewed a number of people in and out of different venues of life, and primarily, though, mostly politics and religion and economics and, you know, the world that the world around us of societal issues. So I've done all of that, and just about 3 years ago I was invited to become part of Republic Broadcasting Network. I was fired, you know, from a local station, even though I bought my time. Now, how do you fire a guy who wasn't really on the payroll?
Well, you were paying for a show and they fired you.
Yeah, well, they you know, one of the characters there that came in to the picture, he actually leased time from the station, and he was buying up programming time and just couldn't wait to get rid of this conspiracy type of talk radio so he could bring in something enlightening and intelligent like Sports Mania, you know? So you know what that's all about. I'm sure your listeners do, and of course he did, and one day I went in on a Saturday, and right in the middle of my show, in the halfway point during the break, he says, "You're done, you're fired, you're out of here," he said. You know, "we don't owe you anything, and you don't owe us anything, you paid your time, and just get off the air like that," you know, and so I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "So that's the way you handle things, how professional you are, huh?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Now, if you don't, you know, if you come back here, I'll have you arrested." So I said, "Well, that's very kind of you. That's very nice." I said, "But let me just say one thing. You have done me the biggest favor in my life, because I was just about ready to call it quits on this little eensy-beensy tiny little station that doesn't amount to a bag of beans." And I said, "You, too, will find out that your programming days are numbered." And sure enough, it wasn't but about 6 months or a year later that everything began to fall apart, and he no longer is at that station leasing time. So, of course, it went into the sunset, you know, like Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. So, to make a long story short, that's when I picked up with Republic Broadcasting. John Stattmiller was very happy to note that he would be happy to pick me up where I was dropped off, and finally, on Republic Broadcasting, reaching people all across the world. And so here I am now on your show on this network, and I'm very happy to be part of it tonight, to be a guest with you. And what my purpose is, well, I think people know that it's not a profitable thing for me to be on the air. I'm not one of the neocon talk show hosts. In fact, it costs me money to be on the air broadcasting, to pay you know, the bills to hook up, and phone bills and so forth, and I do it as a labor of love, as you know, Don. Mm-hmm. I do it simply because I feel obligated to be in a position to bring the truth, the gospel truth, the truth of the world, to people all over the world in these days that we find ourselves in, these horrible days of worldwide conflict and dictatorship here at home, and empire, wars, and rumors of wars, and here I am as a result, doing that, bringing people to the realization that there is a truth, and there is objective truth, and America is in dire need of salvation. So that's my mission, my friend.
Well, I agree with you on the, especially on the salvation issue. I've been kind of preaching that we need to come to a sense of repentance, that we need to take responsibility, not in this, you know, hang your head low, demean yourself, but let's say escaping from this paradigm, this matrix that they've created for us, and take responsibility for allowing them to do that, and just sitting back, sipping on our tap water in the meantime.
Yes.
what does the Paul Revere of radio cry out as he rides his horse during the night to alert us? Is it, the terrorists are coming? Is it the cabal is coming? The central bankers? What is it that you yell now?
Well,
or is it all of the above?
It really is. It's really all of those things, you know. Americans are, unfortunately, most of them, not all, thankfully, but most Americans have their heads buried in the sand. And as is history, the historical account will attest, I'm sure, Don, that civilizations have come and gone, and America reached its pinnacle many, many years ago, really in the 19th century, and after that, in the 20th century, began its downward climb with its decline, with its involvement in internationalism and interventionism and world conflicts. And that was the beginning of the end of our republic, of our sovereignty as a nation, and the abandonment of the constitutional prerequisites of our framers of the Constitution, who warned us against all of these things that we now see ourselves involved in today. And the world has not gotten better because America is policeman of the world. The world has gotten worse, and so have we here in America. Things have gotten worse, and that's what I like about Ron Paul running for president, is that he's been sounding that clarion call as a Paul Revere in Congress, so to speak, for many years, and he hasn't budged from that position because time has proven him correct, and time, I believe, has proven me correct as well.
Yes. Yes, well said. Now, Rick, in contemplating, because you and I had decided that we were just going to kind of wing this show tonight, and you know, you have a wealth of information and knowledge to draw topics
from. You
can go
that far, Don.
and so do I. No, I'm
you
just,
have a great knowledge, yes.
But what, sometimes that stream of consciousness, the Holy Spirit comes to you and it says, he says, okay, consider this. You know, you and I talked about on your show about the Kennedy assassination, and I brought forth some new characters that are seldom talked about, but known amongst the conspirators. And every major tragic event that has done something to lead us down the path of destruction as a nation, and starting with the Kennedy assassination, has a theme, a recurring theme, and it dawned on me, you know what, these are not terrorist attacks, or these are not the acts of insane individuals that have a bug up their rear end about some particular political issue. These are conspiratorial murders. These are murders. And what we don't see is a murder investigation. There are statutes of limitations on murder or some certain crimes, but there is no statute of limitations on murder. So why aren't we investigating the Kennedy assassination as a murder case? Why aren't we investigating 9/11 as a murder case?
Well, that's a very good question, and people have attempted to answer that question, and they have attempted to get an investigation that is honest and above board. But as you know, in each of those cases, including 9/11 and the Kennedy assassination and Pearl Harbor, there were these set-up phony investigations, commissions, right, that were
mm-hmm.
set up to allegedly investigate what went wrong. And, of course, they start off with a false premise or a false mission. In the case, as you know, when you heard Tom Kimmel on my show, a grandson of Admiral Kimmel at Pearl Harbor, they were limited in scope as to what they could investigate. And then the guy that was heading the investigation was Owen Roberts, Associate Chief Justice there, of the sitting justice of the Supreme Court. And, of course, he was only allowed to conduct an investigation into the military aspects of it, and only that happening in Hawaii, not in Washington. So, you know, right from the get-go, there's something wrong here. And with the 9/11 Commission, as is with the Kennedy investigation, the makeup of the commission was interesting to observe. All of the people in the 9/11 Commission had a vested interest or had skeletons in their closets. None of them came with clean hands. And, of course, as you know, George Bush wanted Henry Kissinger to be appointed chair of the commission from the get-go. So that was very humorous.
That's the fox guarding the hen house.
You
know what I mean? Now the same names. You know what's interesting is if we look at what we know about the banking situation, especially in New York and London and Hamburg and Paris during World War or prior to World War One, and in between the World Wars as well as World War Two, and the complicity of Union Banking Corporation and Prescott Bush and Company. The Bush family hasn't been involved in all of these events, and I would, you know, their name has conveniently been left out of the attack on Pearl Harbor. But
it seems as if the media have been very protective of the Bushes in that regard, hasn't it?
Yes, exactly. And to me, they're the smoking gun in every case. You know, whether it's banking, their interest in oil, their interest in weaponry, their interest in transportation, shipping, and the theft of trillions of dollars now. I mean, it's indisputable that this is going on, and yet the media doesn't report it. So why don't we treat all of these events like murder investigations? And I would say, I mean, we should be focusing like that. Forget about these commissions. Consider the commissions conspirators in the cover-up. That's complicity, you know. To obstruct justice is what it is.
Mm-hmm. I think Congress has been responsible for that lapse of duty, don't you?
Absolutely. And so, and, you know, to a great extent, so has law enforcement. I mean, it's so simple, it's staring us right in the face, and yet no one really brings this up. They blame Saddam Hussein. They blame Osama bin Laden, the creation of the CIA. In fact, both characters were created by the CIA. Which should be pointed out that the MI6 controls the CIA as well, and that the Vatican and the Jesuit Order and Opus Dei all have a hand in the payroll of those intelligence agencies. It just doesn't, it doesn't come out. And let's talk about the Zionist factor. Again, the same names, Kissinger or Bush, come up. the writing's right there on the wall. Why is it so hard for us to sink our teeth into that and push for justice in this case?
Well, I think the answer is pretty obvious, and that is that they have such an iron-clad grip on this nation, on the media, on the powers of government, that the American people have absolutely nothing to do with their government any longer. The American people have absolutely no control over this government or the media. It is answerable only to the powers that be, the major power players, the major, trumpeteers of control in banking, international banking, who run all of the major corporations, the Federal Reserve System, a private banking system, and all of the major media. They're all in on it together. I mean, let's face it, you and I, I'm sure, could honestly say we know reporters. We know people, and I know I can attest to it, that I have talked to over the years who told me that you're absolutely right, Rick, in what you say. The only problem is if I did what you wanted me to do and become an honest reporter, I'd have my head on the chopping block. I would be fired, and I wouldn't have a career any longer. So I said, well, I understand that. I understand that money is more important than the ideologies and principles of right and wrong. And unfortunately, that's what it comes down to. People will not take a stand. They will wind up taking a fall, though, someday. And that's what it comes down to. Power elite is so powerful that it is just amazing. And yet their power is really an illusion in a sense, Don, if you know what I'm saying. In other words, their power is on shaky ground because they fear. They really, despite their international banking financier power, they fear that if the American sheeple were suddenly able to wake up and be armed and be self-sufficient and be able to protect themselves, that they would be overthrown, unmasked, exposed, and totally thrown right where they belong in the gulag. You see, they do fear that, and that's why they keep us amused and bemused with ball games, sports, entertainment, and constantly bombarding us with superfluous media, examples of that. You see? Am I coming through clearly for you?
Well, I disappeared for a second. Am I back now?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
You took advantage of my long-windedness. That's what you did.
Oh, I missed the tail end there. But knowing
you, as I said, the media are in control, and they fear that they will lose that control if people like you and me have too much power, too much counter power on the net and so forth, and on alternative radio, that we might rekindle. We might, be that spark that awakens people from their slumber, and who knows what can happen when people wake up. When you wake a sleeping giant, the American public, and the middle class that's being destroyed, they have the power that is more enormous than anything. They have the power to control their own lives and their own destinies under God and His sovereignty. And that's what these criminals fear, I think, Don.
Yes. Now, what's also interesting to me, and you know, when you think about this and you just sort of allow that spirit to come into your consciousness, and you're appraising everything in the system, how it's set up, it just dawned on me that we give power to people that hold more paper. In other words, they have chicken scratch, basically. It might as well be chicken scratch because it's worthless. On a piece of paper, and the person that holds the most of this paper, the largest quantity, or let's say the highest stack of this paper filled with chicken scratch on both sides, mm-hmm. is given all of our power. We just submit power to them as if this is real. I mean, it's no more real than their underwear and my underwear. you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, it's a grand illusion, isn't it?
It is, and that we give up all of our freedom or our sovereignty on that basis, on the basis of an illusion.
Yes.
It's incomprehensible. And so we have to wake up from that illusion. And likewise, I would say, whether it's gold, a stack of gold or not, it's still an illusion in a sense. Because if I don't have the gold, if you don't possess the gold yourself, it's of no use to us. So it serves no purpose that another has all of it, or that another is stealing it, or another is misusing it. It boils down to, I'm speaking from the spiritual, eternal sense that this is all an act, this is all a dream or an illusion that's going on here. Because these things really don't mean anything in that sense. So we're faced with our spiritual, what's the word I'm looking for? Eventuality. I mean, the place where we're going, our destiny is what I'm looking for.
Sure. I know exactly what you mean. No doubt about what you're saying. It is an illusion. And we really and truly are deceived in that sense, you see. We're deceived into thinking that we really don't have any power. And we don't have power in one sense, but we have all the power in the world in another sense. And this is where I believe that if you don't connect the dots and bring them back to the Creator, to God, to the Father, to Jesus, then that you can't really fight this battle against spiritually wicked people unless you have the sword of righteousness to cut them down. And it's a spiritual battle we're fighting. It's not a flesh and blood battle of just us against them. Because if it was, obviously we could win. We outnumber them. But the problem is we live in a world that is dominated by forces that are not seen by the human eye. Mm-hmm. They are spiritually wicked people directed by spiritually wicked beings. And those beings have their father. Those beings have a father just like we have our father, you see? And there is the positive and the negative in the world, just like there is in matter. The power of the positive versus the power of the negative. equal and opposite reactions in physics, you see? So
yes.
The force is out there, Don.
Well, you know, and it dawned on me, and I guess I'm just thinking out loud for the listeners out there who are constantly searching for answers, and you know, in regard to these issues. You know, we have the big high stack of money, which is nothing but chicken scratch on paper, right? And we have the low stack or the no stack of money. Okay, now we have the stack of spiritual entities from the dark side. And we have our God on the other side, and his angels, and his children. Okay, so in a physical sense, we outnumber them in terms of population, number of beings walking this planet. We are the majority, but we have allowed ourselves through our ignorance of who our Creator is, our Father in heaven, and his Son, Jesus Christ. We and our unwillingness to talk to him and to acknowledge him and to repent for the mistakes that we have made, that we can overcome that those few practicing the dark, because they're wreaking an awful lot of negativity and an awful lot of evil for the small numbers that they have. It shows how faithless we are as the masses, because they would not be in control.
Absolutely.
So it comes down to us, you know, revisiting our Creator, you know, communing with him and knowing him and talking with him and maybe seeking his mercy and his help in this.
Yes, it starts with each of us as individuals, Don. You're right. No doubt about it. We have to personally accept the old Star Wars scenario, the Force be with you.
Yes.
Well, the Force really is the force of the Holy Spirit from God versus the unholy spirit from Satan and his children.
Oh, yes. And you know, they would limit our understanding of that reality by focusing us on the physical and even the mental, you know, the system. They have us fearful of what they do to us physically. They have us fearful of what could happen to us physically, as if the only reality was the physical reality. In fact, that is the least of the three aspects of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right,
and therein is the success in their brainwashing, the success in their dumbing down of the population, their success in poisoning us and drugging us and making us co-conspirators in our own demise.
Yes, well put. Absolutely. We're willing participants. I mean, we as a nation, aren't we?
Well, yeah, as a nation, as an identity. What's
as a
interesting
group, yes.
Yeah, you do you talk to people from Europe or, you know, from other countries? I know you get some calls into your show.
Oh, yes, yes, definitely.
What are their perceptions in, let's say, in Europe or Canada? What do you hear from, or
well,
South America?
I hear, you know, now from the way I see it, you know, from a biblical perspective, I hear the voices of Israel, true Israel now. The Adamic Israelite people of the Bible, the European, the Caucasian Israelites, as it were, coming out and calling in from all over. And, you know, I think that this is very prophetic, Don. We're hearing an awakening as the physical seed of Abraham here in the United States and Europe begins to descend into, once again, into Babylonian captivity of the mind, that the remnant, if you will, is rising up as the group goes down, the force, the 7,000, so to speak, here are being raised, you see, at the same time and sealed in their minds so they can understand. The times in which we live are very evil times, spiritually wicked times, when men are plotting, are scheming for control And what does it gain them? Well, from our point of view, it gains them nothing. In fact, they are the losers. But to their sick, sordid, senseless mind, there is an order. There is a purpose, and that is to gain control over these worldly things. Hey, if they feel they can make us all happy little slaves and reduce the population down to a governable level, then they have what they want. But still, that doesn't satisfy, because when you have absolute power, it's still absolutely not enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
You want more power, and you want to be able to do more, because it becomes boring after a while. Why? Because it doesn't satisfy. The soul, you see, is never satisfied by earthly acquisitions or by earthly entities. And that's why we have to fight this battle on a spiritual plane. I mean, so if I die today and I leave this earth, what have I gained in this world? I'm not taking anything with me, am I? No. But in the next world to come, in the world when Jesus spoke of, his kingdom is raised on the earth, then that will matter all the more, because that is where the real proof of the pudding is, in what will be in his kingdom, you know? And he said, my kingdom is not of this world, but we would fight if it were. And that's when he did not resist the temptation, because he knew that the trial against him was an illegal trial, and it was a phony trial by the Zionists then, who persecuted him and wanted him out of the way, because he identified them as such, as the children of Satan. And when he did that, they couldn't afford to have him walking the face of the earth much longer, you see, because they were in control of the books. They were running things. They were running the temple. They were running the money-changing system, you see, even then. So Jesus was a threat to them, so they charged him with sedition. Well, I'm not trying to in any way, shape, or form change the subject here, Don. I'm relating it to you now.
No,
I'm
yes.
relating that I feel that this... What we have to do now doesn't satisfy us if we're just fighting for our possessions. Our founding fathers didn't fight for materialism or material blessings only, but they fought for the source of that, and they fought for the spiritual values, right? They fought for independence, not just from Great Britain and independence from the monarchy, but they fought for independence to be able to be responsible to God on their own. And it was for religious freedom they came here originally, the colonists. They didn't come here to get a job at McDonald's. They didn't come here so they could have public access television programs, or they could join the rodeo and have more fun here because it was too restrictive in England. No, they came because they wanted to worship God, and they weren't free to do that in England and in Leiden. You see?
Yes. Well, you know, this discussion is pointing out very clearly that they have accepted the temptations that Christ refused when Satan offered him his kingdom, just that he worship him and deny God, his Father. These folks, for the temporary pleasures of riches and their aberrations of, you know, everything that is normal, and I'm just speaking about their pedophilia and their use of, and selling of drugs, and the corrupting of society, their lying ways, their thieving ways, their murderous ways. They have been tricked by the very individual or the very entity that would exercise complete rulership over us. So they've been used just as a tool, and they don't even realize that. They attribute it to their own success, their own grandeur.
Very true. Very well put.
And it's up to us to recognize that, because our solution is in recognizing that, who they are and who the... This is why I have devoted myself, at least recently in my journalistic career, to expose who these people are, because they can't even claim their own names. They have to have fictitious names and be from fictitious countries, because what they're doing is so underhanded and corrupt.
Well, it's identity theft, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
It's stolen the identity that they possess.
In fact, my gut feeling is that they're pushing for illegal aliens to be here so that as we're exposing that they are all illegal aliens come into this country through Nazi Germany and communist Russia and communist China, that they somehow are exculpated from the fate of the illegal aliens. I mean, the doublespeak and the insanity in the political arguments today is just unreal.
It is. Oh. It's Orwellian. It is Orwellian. Doublespeak and newspeak. It's no wonder people are perpetually confused, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And this is what Lenin taught, too. I mean, Lenin was into duplicitous. It's deception and concealment. It follows the teachings of Aleister Crowley, Albert
yes.
Pike. Do what thou wilt. The end justifies the means.
Yes, yes.
And they don't deviate from that. There's nothing new that they create. It's the same lies spun over and over
again. That's right. And as you point out, you know, they don't even realize that they are duped. They're useful tools. They don't realize that the guy that's enlisted them in his army can't really deliver anything. You know, when Satan approached Jesus and says, bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the things of the world, he couldn't make good on his promise even if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
What could he offer Jesus? Nothing. And that's when Jesus said, hey, man doesn't live by bread alone. He doesn't live by a gut, a full belly. That doesn't satisfy. He yearns for something more than the flesh, right? Something higher. So it's God that gives us the higher value of life, the meaning of life, the purpose of life, to serve him versus the other fellow.
Yes. Now, I listened to your show tonight. You brought up Senate Bill. Is it... 4088, is that the number
yes.
of that bill?
Yes, that was House Bill 4088. That was on the bill to basically give us the illegal amnesty program through the back door. Once again, trying to resurrect a form of amnesty for illegals in just another form, you see? That's what they're doing. They tried it with the DREAM Act, as you know, Dick Durbin's DREAM Act. And, of course, that didn't make it, thanks to all of us here on Alternative Radio putting up a big fuss, you see. So now they're trying to save it, so to speak, with another backdoor attempt.
Well,
that's what they're doing, John.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I mean, when will it end? When will this end? Is it? Are we going to just have to storm the Bastille, so to speak? Or, you know, what should we do? Should we get on our knees and surround these buildings and just pray? You know, what solution do you see?
Well, that's a good question, Don. It's an excellent, excellent question. Because we just can't descend into a mob right now and take things into our own hands. That wouldn't serve the purpose overall. The timing isn't there. And the people do not have the kind of organization or the momentum on their side, despite the fact that really the polls clearly show that Americans are deeply troubled over this illegal immigration issue or illegal trespassing. They don't like it. At the same time, the polls have been conducted in such a way as to pacify them by making it sound as if most Americans are willing to grant some legal status to illegals if they earn their keep, you know, if they work their way here and they are willing to do certain things. You've heard those polls. You've seen that, right?
Yes. And to me, this whole issue is putting the cart before the horse, because
absolutely.
to ask this question at the Republican debates, do you support Governor Elliot Spitzer's move to give driver's licenses to illegal aliens? Stop right there. These people are illegal. They're not supposed to be here.
Right.
I mean, there should be no question about that.
Exactly. None whatsoever. And you can't compromise on that issue, because once you do, then you get the camel's nose under the tent. And yes, there's no end to it, as you say, until they literally take the whole pie.
But why isn't that being said? I mean, I haven't even heard Ron Paul say that, to tell you the truth.
Well,
I have.
You know, he's saying it in many different ways, and the best way he can. He's telling us that the reason they come the first place is because they're enticed to come, because they know there's a safety net here, the welfare state. We have a socialist state, Social Security. We have all of these programs that will take care of you if you come here. Just come here and have babies. Come here if you're pregnant. Don't worry. The law is on the side of the criminals, not the law-abiding, not the people who work for a living. The law is obviously wrong because the courts have been allowed to make law instead of observe and enforce law and interpret the laws, you see. We've lost control because the Congress is bought and paid for by those corporations, by those powerful special interest groups, and as you mentioned, the international bankster gangsters at the beginning, they set up these tax foundations. They fund agitator groups like the ACLU and other groups on the street so they can go to court and win in court. You see, the deck is stacked. The deck is stacked, Don, as you know. So problem requires a spiritual solution. And I believe, personally, if we were to get on our knees as a nation and we were to stop doing the things we're doing and repent of our sins as a nation, that he will heal our land. He will bring about a different type of America, the one that we once knew. I mean, it's got to be a divine intervention. That, I believe, is the solution to answer your question. It's not going to come just from flesh and blood fighting against these forces, because we're, be honest with you, though we have the numbers, we really and truly are surrounded by all sides now, literally and figuratively. We are besieged. You know, it's not just the illegals, it's not just the vaccines, it's not just the poisoning of our food and our water and all of the attacks on our freedom and all of this. It's everything that is against us, and we have lost control. We have lost control. And the government is reflecting that, because the people get the government they deserve. And that's where I do blame the public. I do blame the people themselves. Pointing the finger is fine. But when you're pointing one finger at them, you better point two more back at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
When
you're pointing one finger at them, you got at least three pointing back at you.
That's right.
You know,
hey, so. I mean, that's the way I feel. You know, you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an honest answer. I'm no politician, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm no Huckstubby. Wannabe Huckstubby.
I agree with you 100%, Rick. I have been, you know, this has been part of my message. Likewise, you know, to awaken people, I think you have to sort of shock them into what's going on, and I've you know, maybe it's the Lord that's led me to approach my research in a way to say, okay, who are these people? You know, these are not Americans. Americans would not do this to their own country. These are people that have submitted to a spiritual force that's dark and destructive and it's whose purpose is anti-God, really. It's anti everything good in the universe.
Yes, that's the force right there.
Yes, and because of that, to me, okay, you know, how do you awaken someone to this reality? Well, the people who are paying attention to the politics, you know, look, these people are not who they say they are. Now that seems to be taking hold more and more. I'm not the only one that, you know, that's researched this background. You know, Webster Tarpley has done a fine job. G. Edward Griffin has done it in his own way. I just attack the bull, you know, by grabbing the horns, if you know what I mean. I'm not mincing words in identifying who these people are.
No, now, you're not. You've identified them.
Yeah, I've identified them, and you know what? There's no argument. Guess what? That means it's right. It's correct. It's accurate. So from that standpoint,
I don't believe Satan's kingdom is divided against itself. Do you?
No.
So I think Satan has many minions, many appearances, but he has but one body. He just has different manifestations, different faces, different masks. And whether it's coming from this group or that group, or the, you know, whether it's the Vatican or whether it's religious order of the various and sundry tribes of this group or that group, this country, that nation, Al-Qaeda, whatever they want to call it, CIA, it doesn't matter. He has many tentacles like the octopus, but he has one head. He has one head, one brain that's functioning behind all of those little puppeteers who are working for him.
Yes. Well, you know, it's while you're speaking, you're drawing such a vivid picture that I'm picturing the secret societies. You know, if what they were doing was so righteous, why would it have to be secret? In fact, in their secrecy,
right,
the stench still comes through.
Yes.
It's identifiable.
Right. And isn't that what Jesus said when they came out after him at night? He said, why do you come after me at night? Why don't you do it in the broad daylight? Why? Because your deeds are wicked, not mine.
Yes.
You see? Because you know you prefer the cover of darkness. And that's the same of these secret societies. The same with all these diabolical organizations like the CFR and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberger groups and all of these other front groups, you see? They are working with a cover of darkness. And how is that made possible? By the control of the mass media.
Yes. The full ownership and the infiltration by the intelligence agencies, too.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. All of that.
Now,
if we had an honest media, though, they would reveal what we're revealing.
Oh, yes. Yes. I remind myself, Rick, that, you know, when you're in a dark room, if there's cockroaches inside, all you have to do is turn on the lights.
That's exactly right, Don.
And they scatter.
Mm-hmm.
So they find their yeah, they find their home in the dark. And as soon as, you know, as soon as the light is there, they have to scatter, they have to run, they have to hide because they've been discovered. Now we have the same situation here, and What gets me is that we're ignorant of the methods that they use to control us, to dumb us down.
Mm.
Entertainment, sports. You know, I love sports. I love.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. It's just they've got us obsessed with them.
Yes, and the repetition of the senseless mindlessness of these so-called celebrities that really, you know, they're idols. They're not actually very good at what they do, other than if they're bad at what they do, they're very good at being bad.
that's well put again, yes.
You know, the blonde bimbos that CNN parades in front of us during this Iraq war to divert our attention. Of course, O.J. Simpson comes out, and again, O.J.'s big news. And you have millions of people being whose lives are being destroyed overseas in these wars, and It's important to know whether Britney Spears has underwear on or not.
That's it. That's the important issue of the day. Yep.
You know, so, and I'm still trying to find out if she's wearing underwear, by the way. No, I'm just...
Unbelievable. We have to have a sense of humor, you know, because otherwise we would go insane, I think, like the rest of the world. So we have to have some escape valve and a little bit of comedic, levity here and there to make an example of it, but what you say is definitely true. The masses must be kept, I think the word is, anesthetized.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, and if they don't do it with sports, they do it with drugs, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see what the big thing is about drugs, but I was just reading in the paper today about drugs and how young people supposedly now are becoming more addicted to using the prescription drugs to get their high. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
What do they need to escape from? What is it about life that they have to escape to something else? You see, they've been robbed all of their life. They've been robbed by their school systems, by the media, by the government, to keep them away from their Father who created them, their Father in heaven, you see, who mm-hmm. offers them contentment and fulfillment. They don't need drugs. I take one pill a day, you know, the Goss pill. How's that? I mean, that does it for me. Don,
well said.
I don't need any drugs. I don't take any, any highs. I don't need them. I never did. Never was into that scene, you know, because I never felt the need to. I was content with what I was given by God, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm very happy for that, you know. And I know there are people who are not that fortunate, and I don't look down at them. I don't condescend to them, you know. I'm here to help people. I'm not here to hurt people, to help people, and you are too. But the truth. But you see, they've been robbed of that. Young people today have been robbed of that with these decisions affecting religion in the schools, our Christian heritage, taking away all that fulfills them spiritually and giving them what instead? Materialism, all of the things that they escape from this world with, and the drugs come into the picture, all of the drinking and the accidents, and now they get killed on highways, and this year we've never seen so many accidents, so-called, and maybe some of them were suicides, who knows, but young people driving off the road, getting involved in dangerous daredevil activity, and where I come from, the number is just astronomical this year. Never seen it like this before, you know, young people dying at an alarming rate because of drugs and alcohol, the use to which they're put. So you just touched on something here, Don, and that proves, I think, what we're both saying tonight, and that is the spiritual dimension is the most important thing in this world. And if we're not serving the right spirit, we're not serving the right God, then we're not going to be able to ever, ever understand this beast that we're dealing with until it's too late for us. You see? That's the fight. That's the good fight.
I agree with you, Rick, and just to add to what you described, you know, this is their cash cow, the drug industry. While they have this so-called self-proclaimed war on drugs, they are the biggest drug dealers on the planet. They are the drug dealers.
Sure.
I mean, there's no question about that, and yet, again, the duplicity of, you know, we have to send police officers into the schools to teach your kids to say no to drugs. But what happens? How is that working as a program in and of itself? You know, first of all, they're telling people about drugs. They're telling these kids about drugs. They may never even come across drugs, but they're introducing the idea to them. You know, knowing full well that kids are conditioned, if you tell them, don't do this, they're going to do it.
And then, of course, once they've seen this addiction, then that gives them the excuse to go into their lockers, go into their homes, and turn them and their parents against each other and enforce a more governmental police state control, you see?
Yes.
You see the diabolical nature of it?
Yes, absolutely. Well, Rick, unfortunately, we've rapidly run out of time on the show tonight.
Oh, fast.
Yes.
Just when I was beginning to have fun. I've enjoyed it, Don. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Will you come back and visit again soon with us?
I will. I will. And you come back on my show, too.
I will. And thanks for staying up so late. I'll try not to make it a habit, okay?
Well, that's all right. I appreciate it. Just don't invite me late to lunch. That's all.
Okay. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest tonight has been Mr. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of talk radio. Can we hear Paul Revere do his call before you go, Rick?
Well, also the Radio Avenger, because as you know,
I use the Avengers theme song
on my program. Yes.
Yes. Pardon
me. You want
me to
do the Paul Revere?
Either one.
Well, I mean, you want me to just tell people to get ready and watch out because the enemy is coming, the enemy is here, the enemy's at the gate. Is that what you want me to tell them?
Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
Indeed. All right, they're coming, ladies and gentlemen. They're here. They're not coming, but they're here. And let us get those rascals unmasked and deposed and remove them from our midst. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick, so much for being on the show, and we'll have you back again, okay? And
well, you thank have you, a good... John, and bless you.
All right, you too. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm Don Nikoloff, and I'm going to say goodnight. Be with us tomorrow. We have another great guest coming up, Mr. Fred Smart, all things willing. And we'll see you. Peace, love, and light. Have a good night.